Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Friends, welcome back to the Love and Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Falada, and I'm so glad you're tuning into these candid conversations about love, sex, dating, singleness, and marriage. For those of you who don't know me or are tuning in for the first time, I'm a licensed professional counselor and author specializing in relationship issues. I also run the relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaching millions of people with the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. If you've tuned into the podcast before, you know it's a hotline style show, meaning people call in or write in with their relationship questions, and I answer them on this show in short, practical, bite-sized answers. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, send it via email or voice memo to Deborah@truelovedates.com or check out my podcast page, truelovedates.com/love and relationships, and I'll do my best to get it answered on one of the episodes. So let's get started. Today's question comes from Maggie from Pennsylvania. Maggie asks, "Hey Deborah, in a culture where women are praised for flaunting their bodies, as women, how do we balance caring about our appearance, but not catering to a culture that focuses so much on physical appearance and sex appeal?" Friends, today I'm excited to introduce you to Kristen Clark from Girl Defined Ministry to help me tag team this important question. Hey, Kristen, it's good to have you on the show.
Hey, it's so good to be here. Thanks for inviting me into this conversation. I think it's going to be a really good one.
I think so too. And I'm pretty sure I watched a YouTube video of yours talking a little bit about this subject. So when this question came in, I was like, all right, this girl's going to be a great fit for this conversation. So before we dive in, tell me a little bit about yourself. And for people who don't know who you are or have never heard of your ministry, tell us a little bit about what you've got going on.
Yeah, well, I am a born and raised Texas girl, first of all. You know, that's important information.
Yeah, Texans always feel like that's important information for some reason.
It's our leading points. Like, first of all, I'm from Texas.
That's so funny.
I know. I don't know what that's about, but I am a pretty proud Texan.
Like, I never start a conversation by saying, first of all, I am from Pennsylvania. Like, it just doesn't happen.
Texans, we have like this state pride. I don't know what it is, but we're really proud of our state.
I love it.
So yeah, I am from Texas. And you know, people say everything's bigger in Texas. I'm 6'1", so I'm really tall.
No.
And actually, in my family, I have a bunch of siblings and almost all of us are over 6 feet tall.
You guys are like a basketball team.
We are. We could be. I mean, we all played basketball, of course.
It's funny because I'm seeing you on Zoom right now. We're seeing each other. You don't look 6'1 sitting down.
That's the funniest thing, though, is most people first find us on YouTube. And then if they ever meet us in person, like at one of our annual conferences or if we're speaking somewhere, they're always shocked. Because my sister and I, Bethany, we travel together with Girl Defined. And, you know, anybody we meet, they're like, like, you guys are so tall. Like, we could never tell that on YouTube. I'm like, yeah, it's hard to tell someone's height when they're sitting down. But
I love
it. We are. My whole family is so tall. It's so fun. I love it here. And I just, we're just a hoot. So my sister and I founded Girl Defined Ministries back in 2014. And it was really just out of a passion to want to help younger women understand God's amazing design for womanhood, really. So what does it mean to be girls defined by God versus girls defined by the world? Because the world has a lot to say about what it means to be beautiful, where to find our identity, where to find our worth and value, what success is, all of that stuff. The world has a lot of advice, but God's word, his word is true. And when we embrace his design, we find so much freedom, so much fulfillment. Our true purpose is found within his word because he's our designer. So he's the one who defines us. And so that's really the heartbeat of our message. We have a YouTube channel, just recently launched a podcast. So the Girl Defined Show. And then a couple of books and, you know, blogging, which I feel like is kind of going out of date. Like, people don't read blogs as much anymore. Right. I know podcasting is the big thing and videos. So yeah, that's really the heartbeat of what we do. And then I'm also married. So I've been married to my husband, Zach, for almost 10 years. And we don't have any children yet. So that's a whole nother story of just our journey of infertility and recurrent miscarriage and really trusting God when his story for my life is so different than what I always imagined, and just really seeking him and trusting that his plan is good. So yeah. I also have a little dog named Sadie. She's very cute, a little Maltese poo. So I'm a huge animal lover too.
You know, it is amazing. And this is off subject, but when I hear from singles about, like, you know, every now and again, I'll get a message from somebody who will say, people probably don't understand what it's like to be single and waiting into your 20s, into your 30s, into your 40s. But to be honest, my response is, we might not be able to understand that specific portion of waiting, but waiting is a universal thing. Like, okay, so now you're married, but you're waiting on having a baby, and you've been married for a decade. Like, the waiting doesn't end. The trusting God portion doesn't just magically end when you get married and it's like, all right, this is it. There's always something. And so that muscle that we're building during singleness of trusting the Lord in the face of life doesn't look at all what I planned is going to carry us through so many hard times in the future. It's not just about singleness. And that's, you know, so important for people to really understand.
Yeah. And I think in singleness, it can be such like a preparation season for whatever God has for your future. And I know, like you said, the waiting, there's always going to be an unfulfilled longing that we have. We're never going to have like every single thing we could ever imagine, or we get the things we always wanted and then they don't satisfy us or fulfill us the way that we thought. So now we're going, okay, now I have these other issues I'm wrestling with. So yeah, I mean, trusting God and learning to really surrender our timeline to him and say, God, you know better. You have a greater purpose. You're working through this waiting, through these unfulfilled longings. Help me to serve you and glorify you right now in this season, because no matter what season I'm in, there's always going to be something. Yes. And so help me to learn this lesson now. And I don't feel like I learned it in singleness. So it has been a journey in marriage of going, okay, God, wow, your timeline is so different than mine, but you still are good and you still have a good plan.
Yeah, that's so good. So today's topic is kind of a hot topic. We're talking about women and physical appearance and modesty and sex appeal. And there's just going to be so many things weaved into this conversation. But I want to start with, what messages are we getting from culture? And the reason I want to start there is two things kind of came up this past year for me. There was a blog post that went out from truelovedates.com about why my family chooses not to wear bikinis. That was just my personal preference, and I explained why. And definitely got some pushback from that. The second thing in that same strain was this past Super Bowl, where there was a lot of like flaunting of bodies, and I pushed back against that and said, you know what? I think this is an issue. I don't think this is a cultural norm, whether we're talking about Latino culture, American culture, Egyptian culture, which is what I come from, like belly dancing, whatever. There's a lot of cultural things. Yeah, sure, they're cultural. Doesn't mean they're healthy. Mm-hmm. And so I got a lot of pushback on that as well. And I would say the main pushback was, women are allowed to flaunt their body because you have to empower women, not shame them. You know, so any discussion surrounding the topic of self-respect turns into potential body shaming, like your body shaming. You know, we're allowed to flaunt our breasts or whatever we want because we're women and we're powerful and we can do that. And it's up to the men to not lust, which I agree with.
Yeah.
But there's these extremes. We've got the modesty culture on one side, which is like toxic in and of itself, the purity, toxic modesty culture. Not that the concepts are toxic, but the way we've had those conversations. And then on the other side, we've got this female empowerment, don't body shame. And I think it can be really confusing. So what do you think the messages we're getting from culture are? Like, what have you seen and experienced in working with young women?
Yeah. You know, at Girl Define, we get so many emails from young women and messages through social media and just having a lot of conversations about this topic, because in society today, I would say there is a pressure to undress. And I think as women, it's not said in culture, but there's this idea that the more you undress, the more you show off your body, the more loved you're going to be, the more accepted you're going to be, the more attention you're going to get. And yeah, that might be true, right? Like, you might get attention. That is what's trending, what's popular, to show more skin. But I think so many girls that we hear from are saying, yeah, like, I'm flaunting it, you know, like, flaunt what you've got. You've heard that statement. Like, yeah, show it off. Like, it's yours. It's going to empower you. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to make you more fulfilled. Right. And I think deep in our hearts, we think, I'm going to be more loved if I do this. And at the end of the day, so many girls will share, you know, like, I don't feel more fulfilled. Like, I actually feel more objectified. I feel more used. I feel more like I'm only worth what I give through my body to guys or to others, or measuring up to the girls at school, whatever it is. And at the end of the day, it's not producing in us as women the desire of our hearts. We're not actually landing in a better place, but we keep going on this crazy cycle because it's the narrative of culture, right? Like, it's what's normal. It's what all the celebrities are doing. Like you were saying, Super Bowl halftime, like that, the whole world's watching that. And so we see this and we go, okay, that must be the answer to right. my worth and value as a woman. That's where true happiness is found. But then it's actually not.
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard it said, and I really love this idea that lust for a man is wanting something. Lust for a woman is often wanting to be wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I want to be wanted. So that feeling of feeling sexy, feeling attractive, feeling like, hey, he's looking at me, I caught his attention. Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said. Of course, that does feel good, maybe for a minute. But then I 100% agree, at the end of the road of that, at the end of that journey, it really does lead to feeling worse, feeling objectified, feeling like, ugh, like, I'm so much more than my body.
Yeah.
And we're contributing to that culture, unfortunately, by just following the norm, following the voice of culture that tells us, yeah, flaunt it.
Yeah.
What do you think about when people say that covering up, or taking a different, I don't even like the term covering up because that sounds so, like, you know, extreme, but like the modesty approach, or even me saying we personally don't wear bikinis in our family. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the people who come at that and say that's body shaming?
Right. Yeah. There are two extremes, like you said. There's like the side that says, yeah, women should undress and walk down the street nude if you want, and there's no repercussions. It's like, that's our freedom, that's our empowerment. And then the other side, the modesty conversation, which I think can also have the same pitfalls of like, okay, now as a woman, instead of my worth and identity being in the fact that I'm undressing and I'm going to find empowerment through that, my worth and value is tied to my clothes, right?
Right.
How much I cover. Yeah. How I cover. And so I think that message is so wrong. I believe the Bible teaches modesty for women. That's a whole conversation we can have. I wrote a post called Four Reasons Modesty Empowers Women and Nudity Doesn't. So I truly believe that modesty from a biblical lens, not necessarily the extreme version we may see in culture where it's like, you've got to cover from head to toe because your body's something worth hiding.
Right.
It's more of a perspective of modesty that says, God created us as women to be beautiful. Like, let's celebrate that. We're not trying to hide the fact that we have curves. We're not ashamed of our curves. God has created us as women with curves that men don't have. And that's not a bad thing. So we're not covering our curves to hide them. We're saying instead, God, you have created me as a woman with so much value, worth, and dignity. And I'm going to honor the beautiful body that you've given me and not just flaunt it to anyone, because it's actually not for anyone to consume.
It's not.
You've given me a body, you've made me sexual, and there's a beautiful place to embrace that rightly within marriage. You know, God is all about, this is sounds crazy, like a lot of people, but God is about sex. He's about seduction. He's about all of that, but in the context of marriage, right? And so it's just understanding it rightly and realizing at the end of the day, God loves us and cares for us as women. And his plan for modesty from a biblical perspective is really for our protection. It's for our good.
I have a whole book coming out next October about good married sex. So
yes, amen. We need more of that.
100%. But you're right. Like, it's about seeing it as this valuable, beautiful, amazing thing that we're so grateful for, but it's not for everybody. you know?
Right.
And if it is for everybody, it loses its value, you know? Just yeah. like anything else. When you elevate it and give it to everybody, then all mm-hmm. of a sudden, when everyone has it, it's not as valuable as right. when it's exclusive.
Yes, which is how God created it to be. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some of the poor messages. You hinted about this, and I love it. Some of the ways that we have accidentally talked about modesty in a way that's hurtful more than helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, with the church, there's so many times that there's good intentions there, but then the way that it comes across, the way that it's received or interpreted is harmful. And people have a hard time figuring out how to navigate some of those conversations. So let's talk about modesty for a minute. And from the church's perspective, what have you seen mm-hmm. as the harmful approach to this topic? Mm-hmm. How have we taken that to the wrong extreme?
Yeah. Oh, I think the answer is so clearly that we've had the conversation about modesty in the church without understanding the value and dignity side of things for women, without understanding and having a conversation alongside the modesty conversation that talks about sexuality as being a part of God's good design, men and women, how he made our bodies different, his good plan for sex and intimacy, passion, you know, the context for that. I think the problem is that we're telling young girls like, hey, you need to dress modestly. You need to cover up. Don't make guys stumble. And you put all of this weight, the modesty, like you put all of this weight on women that it's our job to make sure no man ever sins. And then we just need to cover up our bodies because showing off our bodies is bad. Like it's bad, bad, bad. So then you as a young woman are thinking, okay, so I need to dress modestly so guys don't sin and my body's bad, so I need to cover it.
Right.
And like, that is so not the message of the Bible when it comes to modesty. So I feel like it's good intentioned, like you said at the beginning, you know, purity culture and modesty culture. I think at the heart of that, I think the intentions are good. I think it's a desire to pursue what we're seeing biblically, but I feel like we're only touching on half the conversation. And even then it's a little bit of a skewed version. And so that leaves girls feeling ashamed of their bodies. Like, wow, I need a cover. And then, oh, if a guy stumbles, it's all my fault. We're bearing the weight of the sin that they're committing.
Right.
And does that mean, oh, we don't care? We just, you know, walk around naked because we don't care. No, we care. We love our brothers in Christ. Like we love men. And so we consider the way we dress to love one another just as believers. I mean, that's what God calls us to. But I think the conversation just needs to be totally pointed in a different way. And it needs to have that balanced biblical perspective.
Totally. I think the other area where we've really gone wrong is focusing the conversation on women and not men. I mean, this yeah. is a joint conversation. This is mm-hmm. a gender neutral conversation because respecting our bodies is just as much for men as it is for women.
Yeah.
Respecting others' people's bodies is just as much for men as it is for women. And I think we've left out the men in this conversation. Well, when's the last time you heard a sermon about men? You should be modest too. Like,
right.
you know, like that never happens. And I think we assume that modesty is for women, lust is for men, when
right.
the truth is we're both called to a high standard. We're both called to this standard of honoring one another and honoring our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we were able to reframe the conversation and make it this gender neutral conversation of we're all responsible here, you know,
right.
our bodies are all miraculous and beautiful and we've got to respect ourselves and respect each other and call one another to a higher standard.
Yeah.
It would just make the conversation that much easier.
Yeah. And it would bring about, I think, so much unity in this. Like there does seem to be division between men and women on this topic in a lot of ways. And I think girls are feeling a little bit like, okay, well, what about the guys? Like, do they bear any responsibility here? So I think it would do a lot of good for us as believers, as the body of Christ, like as a church as a whole, to bring this conversation into both genders, into both sides, and have that balanced conversation. You know, you mentioned lust being more of a guy problem. Like that's kind of what we're taught in the church almost. And our most recent book we came out with is actually called Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart. And yeah. we dig into everything sexual, you know, sexually related for women. And one of the myths is that lust is just a guy problem. And I think we've been fed this idea because the emphasis has been so much on, okay, well, women aren't as visual. They don't really struggle with lust. You know, they have their own, like maybe more emotional issues, relational issues. They're the ones that need to dress modestly so that the men don't stumble and struggle with lust. But the more we talk to women and, you know, I look in my own heart and my own life and see, I struggled with lust all the time.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, but the church wasn't talking about it for women. So
and then you
I
feel
felt
totally,
isolated.
Exactly. You feel like,
oh, I felt weird.
Weird, strange. I work with women on a regular basis as a counselor who are struggling with masturbation, porn,
yes,
lust, all this kind of stuff that because they have struggled in isolation, mm-hmm. it's gotten worse. You know, it's yeah. gotten bigger and harder to overcome. Recent surveys have shown that 80% of women report struggling with porn. So for sure, this is a gender neutral conversation. Like
yeah.
we're all struggling and we can all work together to help one another. Mm-hmm. But that's just what I hope for the way this conversation goes in the future. That's what I hope these
yes.
conversations that we're having begin to penetrate the way that we're talking about this stuff in the church. Today.
Before we continue this important conversation, a quick word from our sponsor.
Whether it's taking a walk around your neighborhood, running errands, or venturing out on your own, you always want to feel safe. With Birdie, you can keep doing what you love with added peace of mind. Birdie's a personal safety alarm that's easy to carry and simple to use. When you activate it, the alarm will emit a loud siren and flashing light to help deter an attack. Birdie is no danger to you, so you can feel confident using it, and it comes in fun colors, so you'll actually want to carry it. Buy your Birdie today for a safer tomorrow. She's Birdie is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase when you go to shesbirdie.com/love. That's She's Birdie, spelled shesbirdie.com/love for 15% off.
Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about how this plays out in dating. Like right now, we live in the hookup culture and it's infiltrating the way Christians mm-hmm. date as well. Like you can go online, you're talking to somebody who says he's a Christian. Next thing you know, he's starting to like ask how big your boobs are or mm-hmm. ask you, you know, questions that are just starting to make you feel like, what's going on yeah. here? What have you seen with dating culture and mm-hmm. the topics of sexting or inappropriate yeah. conversations or picture requests or whatever, like what, yeah. what's going on out there in the world that you have heard from the girls that, you know, you're mm-hmm. ministering to?
Yeah. All of the above, everything you just mentioned, it's happening. And, you know, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, the struggles are real. And I think dating has become, it's completely lost the bigger picture. Like, okay, what is the purpose of dating? Why do we even date? I think dating, modern dating today, so often, like you said, is just this hookup culture. It's just finding someone to kind of hang out with and do life with for a short amount of time, have some fun, with sex so often being the foundation for the relationship. So sex appeal, sexual attraction, and then sexual acts within the relationship, that's kind of the foundation of the relationship from the start so often. And so what relationship can last very long on that? Like that is a crumbling foundation. And we're yeah. seeing that over and over. And so the Christian girls we talk to, they're like, man, it's hard. Like they'll ask us, are there any godly guys out there in the world left who actually want to commit, who right. care about building a Christ-honoring relationship, and then who actually are thinking about marriage, like, do these guys even exist? And hey, any girl listening, I'm here to say they do exist.
They do exist.
I know
exist.
A lot of them. You know a lot of them. They are out there, but they're rare.
50% of them are listening to this podcast right now.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, they're out there, but I would say that's not the majority. And I know you'd probably agree with that.
Yeah.
And so Christian women are struggling and almost feeling like, well, are my standards too high? Like to even desire a godly marriage, is that too much? Do I just need to settle for a guy who seems decent? Yeah, he's, you know, asking me for some photos and we sexed and, you know, wouldn't say our relationship's very like healthy in a biblical sense, but you know, he seems willing to commit. So maybe I just need to lower my standards and just settle for this guy. So I feel like a lot of girls are questioning, and I'm sure there are guys too, but I only talk to the girls mainly through Girl Define. So I don't know what the guys are thinking in particular. You'd have a better gauge on that. But yeah, I think girls are wondering, like Christian girls who genuinely want to build a Christ-centered relationship and ultimately marriage, they're just going, wow, like yeah. how do I even navigate this? Because it is so hard.
Okay, let's talk frankly about this relationship might be headed in the wrong direction if. So let's just throw out some things that you might be seeing in your online dating relationship or getting to know somebody or face to face, and you're like, I don't know if this is normal, is this healthy? We're here to tell you your relationship might be going in the wrong direction. If I'll go with, with the first one, you feel like the person you're dating is slowly starting to push your physical boundaries and get a little bit more intimate, a little bit more intimate, a little bit more intimate, and you're starting to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. Kristen, give me another thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah, I would say if he is, like, if you're desiring accountability and community and he's trying to isolate the relationship. So now we don't need the input from those people. It doesn't really matter what they say. We know our relationship better than anyone else. So kind of pulling you into a bubble and isolating you from community and wise people speaking into your life.
Another one would be if he or she is not on board with starting to set boundaries and wanting to make sure that you're physically, like, in a healthy place.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe you're the one that's setting all the boundaries and they're not really responding. They don't really want to set boundaries, or they say, okay, that's fine, and then disregard it with their actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's a huge one. Another one that's, you know, it can be hard to kind of see at first, but if the guy says, yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, but over time, his actions don't really match his words, right? Like, he doesn't really prioritize God in any way that you're actually able to see, like, church, leave it, take it, whatever, I'm tired, I'm sleeping in. Like, over time, is he really a genuine Christian who, you know, is pulling you closer to Christ? Or are you seeing the opposite? That's something to really look for.
Another one would be you start seeing more and more sexual comments in your conversation, in your text messages. I mean, I talked to a girl recently who the guy was, like, asking her, I mentioned this a minute ago, how big her boobs were. Are they big enough for him to hold and kiss and, you know, like, just getting a little too graphic for that season of a relationship. I mean, the more graphic somebody is, the more you can be sure that they're probably immersed in stuff they shouldn't be in.
Yeah.
The more over-sexualized a conversation is. I mean, I remember going out with a guy who made, like, five comments in one evening that were just super sexualized. You know, I'll just be frank and say one comment. I remember I was drinking with a straw and he was like, oh, that's a real turn on because it, you know, it looks like you're giving oral sex. I'm like, that's a weird.
Wow. He said that on your first date?
He didn't say the oral sex part, but he's like, wow, that's a turn on. And I knew what he meant because I'm like, okay, this guy's head is in the gutter. And it's not the gutter in marriage. Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, that stuff is awesome. Yes. But all that to say, in that context, I'm like, why is his brain already, like, saturated with this kind of thing? And sure enough, as time went on, it was clear that he was, like, really, really struggling with porn use and like porn abuse. And it's clear because that was overflowing in his conversations. That was just, like, the thing that he noticed, the thing that he talked about. His brain was always there. And so if you're seeing that in your conversations, just a normal conversation, a normal interaction turns into, like, a super sexual thing or connotation or whatever, it's like, something's up here. Your relationship is probably not headed in the right direction.
Yeah. And I think that's, I was going to say something along the similar lines, like, if he is stuck in some sort of habitual sin, like, he's addicted to porn, he's saying, like, you know, I know this isn't the best and I'm trying to get free, you know, or some other form of sexual sin where it's like, this is habitual. Like, he has not found freedom from this. We'll get emails from girls all the time saying, what do I do? Like, how do I help him? And first of all, I would say, you may not be the best person to help him. You know, he may need some
100%
godly.
Not only are you not the best person, get the heck out of there.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you said it a lot more black and white than I was going to say it, but yeah, we'll tell them, like, this is a very hard, hard thing to do, but you're not the best person to help him. And if he's stuck in this sin, he needs to take a break from this romantic relationship and get some help. If he's saying he wants freedom, he needs to take it so seriously that he's willing to do whatever it takes to find freedom, to get the help he needs. And that's when you'll know he's serious. But when he's like, oh, you know, I'm trying. It's not unloving to say, hey, let's take a pause on this relationship. I know a lot of girls feel like, but that's not loving him. Like, that's not showing Christ's love. But actually it is, because the relationship probably isn't helping him. He needs to take a pause and get some help. And if you find yourself in that place, like, yeah, I'm the one addicted to porn, then it's probably a good idea for you to say, hey, can we put a pause on this so that I can go get the help I need?
Yeah. And let me be clear and frank again in saying that sometimes it's the woman that's leading the show with physical touch, because that desire to be wanted, it's yes. Like I have worked and met with so many women, and they're the ones crossing the boundaries because they want to feel mm-hmm. wanted. So they want to feel, there's a sense of power. You know, one thing that we've got with this relationship is a power struggle. And mm-hmm. when you feel like you're the sexy one, you have power over him. Like, I can get him to fall. I can get him to want me. I can get him to. And a lot of women use sex when they don't feel loved or wanted
yes.
to show themselves, okay, I really am wanted. Look, I can get him to do this. I can mm-hmm. get him to kiss me. I can get him to, you know, dot, dot, dot. And it yes. makes you feel powerful. But mm-hmm. that is such an unhealthy way to engage yeah. in the relationship. And it also prevents you from seeing it as it is. Let's just say you're in a relationship where you're only getting attention when you're getting him to do something sexual. You don't want to be in that kind of relationship. You mm-hmm. want to be in a relationship where you're feeling valued and listened to, prioritized, when you're not giving anything sexual
yeah.
just because of who you are. Mm-hmm. And so even in that very sense of getting and feeling powerful, you're actually just adding to the dysfunction in the relationship, you know, something yeah. to be careful of.
I am so glad that you, yeah, that is so, like, I have such a passion for that topic. I haven't done anything, like I haven't written anything on it or done a podcast, but I just feel like that the idea of seduction as manipulation is something that we as women struggle with so much more than we think. And in dating, it is like you're saying, it's a way that we feel like I can get what I want. I can get the love, the attention, the physical affection if I use seduction as kind of a way to manipulate the relationship. But at the end of the day, if you think about God's design for sex and marriage, it's never about just getting what you want. It's about loving and serving the other person.
100%.
And that's the heart God wants us to cultivate in marriage. And so if your foundation of your dating relationship is about manipulation so that you can feel loved, then what's going to happen when you get married? It's going to be the most unhealthy foundation. And now you're going to have this perspective of, okay, well, when my husband doesn't, you know, do what I want, or I'm not getting the love, then I'm going to use sex as a weapon. And we see that happening all the time in marriage. It's not about both people selflessly serving and loving the other. And so, yeah, it may feel good in dating for a moment because you do feel like, okay, I'm kind of getting what I want, but it doesn't last. And it really, it just does not give you the foundation that's going to build a healthy marriage.
Absolutely. So let's say you're dating somebody and you start seeing some of these unhealthy things we talked about. Mm-hmm. What next?
Yeah, I would say seek counsel, first of all. You know, there's so many nuances in every relationship that us just right here saying, hey, you should do this or that. It's hard to know with each specific situation so different. So the first thing I'll tell young women is, hey, do you know a godly person, a godly couple that you can go to and get really honest? You know, my husband and I had a couple come to us recently. They were in our church and they just said, hey, we are really struggling sexually in our relationship. You know, we want to get married. We want to honor God. We want to honor one another, but we're really struggling. And they invited us in to their relationship. They said, hey, can you hold us accountable? You know, can you give us some advice and counsel? And, you know, can you pray with us? Like, it was the most amazing thing to see this young dating couple actually care to invite, you know, we're like probably 10 years older than them, you know, been married for almost 10 years, still have a long way to go as far as our learning and growing, but to see them intentionally reach out, I think anyone listening who's facing some sort of struggle, don't just try to figure it out on your own. Don't try to resolve it or think you can handle it. Like, invite wise counsel in to speak into the specific situation you're facing.
Yeah. And I would add the caveat that what you're talking about is a healthy couple who is struggling with physical boundaries and they want to get better.
That's true.
What we mentioned a few minutes ago is crazy stuff that we do not want to see in a relationship, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. There's a difference there.
There's a huge mm-hmm. difference because in one scenario, you're on the same page. You're both yeah. like, we want to honor God. This is just hard.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. you both are on the same page. You seek accountability, seek mentorship, seek counseling, and you get yourself on the right page. It's possible. The other scenario is you're not on the same page. You're feeling pressured. You're feeling like your boundaries are starting to get crossed. You're feeling like you're starting to feel manipulated. You're starting to get pushed outside of your comfort zone. To me, in that scenario, the only option is to back out of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other option. Go ahead and get counsel for that if you want. Email me and I'll tell you, get the heck out.
You're like, I can offer counsel right now. That's a good point. I was thinking more, yeah, in terms of, okay, they're struggling, but they both want to honor God. This is a situation, the things we talked about.
And they're both important to talk through.
Yeah.
They're both important to talk through because there's a difference.
Yeah, there is a difference. And I agree with you 100%. It's not a healthy relationship. And if you've been in it for any period of time and you see it's not changing, like this is the pattern of our relationship. Yeah, it's not worth sticking around for.
It really isn't. And if you say, well, maybe healing will happen. Okay. But let it happen while you're not together. Like, let's just wait and see if healing happens, but don't wait for healing while you're in the relationship. Get out of the relationship, pursue your own healing, and then hope and pray they pursue their own healing. And if they do, great. But you're not responsible for that. You don't have power over that. You don't have control over that. And the only thing staying together is going to do is probably drag you down with it.
Mm-hmm,
you know? So this is, you know, if you're getting requests to sext or you're getting requests for like inappropriate pictures or she's sending you inappropriate pictures, because we're, you know, flip side here, the guy all of a sudden is like, what the heck? I didn't ask for this. That is 100% a red flag. Like, you don't have to question. You don't have to pray about it. Just get out. It's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes we ask God for wisdom and he's like, duh. Like, you have everything you need. The wisdom is in that text message. Like, you just saw what I, you know? Mm-hmm, and I think sometimes we over-spiritualize it and are like, Lord, give me a sign. And he's like, that is the sign.
Yes.
This isn't healthy.
The bar is so low culturally for what's accepted. Like we've been talking about sexting, sending nude photos, like engaging in every possible sexual act you can imagine. Like the bar is so low that even things that seem moderate now, it's like, well, it doesn't seem that bad, but what's our standard? Like we can't hold the standard of the world as our standard for what's healthy, what's biblical, what's right in a relationship. We have to go to God's word and say, well, what's God's standard for sexuality?
100%. The other thing that I always remind myself when I was dating and remind women and men today is if there is a lack of self-control in the relationship today, what guarantees me there's not going to be a lack of self-control when we're married?
Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee. Like what you see in dating, you will see in marriage. If he's struggling and looking around at lusting, there's a lot of women, there's porn, she's sending you inappropriate texts, she's flirting with guys, she is trying to seduce you. Like what guarantees you that that's just going to automatically change because you're married? Self-control is self-control is self-control.
Yeah.
And I always say when it comes to the conversation of purity before marriage, and I use the term purity hoping that people can see my heart behind it. But the idea is we don't wait because of what it will do for us in our future relationship.
Yeah.
We wait because of what God is working out in our hearts while we wait. Like I am learning discipline and self-control. I'm learning to honor my body. I'm learning to honor others. I'm learning to trust God with these desires that I have. And if you've done that before marriage, you are golden in marriage because you've already done that work. You've already done the work to avoid temptation and to set boundaries with the opposite sex and to guard what where your brain goes and how you interact with people. So I think it's telling when you see that kind of stuff in dating.
Oh yeah, it is so telling. And it's so important for us to remember the bigger picture of like, why did God give us sex and marriage anyways? Like that's such a passion of mine is to help younger people who are dating and even single women like, hey, what is the point of all of this? Like, have you ever thought about the bigger picture? And when we step back and we go, why did God give us marriage? Why did he create sex? Like, these were his inventions, right? Like, Hollywood didn't make these things up. Like, God was there from the beginning. Adam and Eve made them sexual beings. And as we see throughout scripture, this beautiful picture of marriage where it's telling a story about an even greater purpose. And that's Christ and the church, you know, and that beautiful picture of the gospel, like earthly marriage is meant to reflect that. And sex within marriage is just another really metaphor of the intimacy that Christ desires to have with his children. Like, he loves us so much and wants to have such an intimate relationship with us that he's given us these earthly metaphors to point back to the relationship that he has with his people. And so it's so much bigger than even, oh, like, I'm sexual and I have these longings and urges. Like, God is even trying to tell us a bigger picture. And through the way we live, we're portraying and telling the world a picture of the gospel through 100%. Our marriages and through so it's just, it's so awesome when you grasp that bigger picture. It's like, I'm working towards something. I'm not just fighting against something. Like, I am fighting sin, but I'm also striving towards something that's so beautiful.
Yeah. If you're struggling with sex drive issues right now, I encourage you to check out the podcast episode called Sex Drive and the Single Life, How to Control Your Urges Before They Control You. It's on the Love and Relationships podcast lineup, and it's the number 3 most downloaded episode on our show, and there's a reason for that. So check it out if that's something you feel like you're really struggling with today. The last question I want to talk about is, how do we strike a balance between caring about what we look like? You know, I love makeup. I like doing my hair. I like fashion, but not catering to culture and, you know, sex appeal. And how do we find that balance?
Yeah. Oh, that's so hard because I like makeup and stuff too. And I know we're just doing audio here, but I can see your face and you're very beautiful and you have very beautiful makeup on.
Well, thank you.
One of the lies that I bought into when I was young, I actually modeled for a year, and I was told by people from a young age, hey, you should model. I got invited to work for different agencies and I just never pursued it. My parents were, you know, putting the brakes on, like, oh, we're not so sure this is the best. And in my heart, I really started to believe the lie that my, as a woman, so much of my worth and value would come from people thinking I was pretty, from giving me praise about my physical outward appearance. And so when I was around like later teens, early 20s, I applied for a modeling agency. They had given me their card. I got accepted. I signed a 1-year contract. And during that time, I thought that I would feel more confident as a woman, more empowered, like zero insecurities, because now I'm a model, right? Like, I've reached the top as far as like beauty is concerned. I'm a model. I have this title. People are saying I'm pretty. I'm getting hired for jobs. But what I noticed during that 1 year was that I became more obsessed, more insecure, like more obsessed about my outward appearance, more insecure about the way I looked, and more discontent. Because what was happening is I was placing all of my value and worth on what other people thought about me. Like, beauty, outward beauty, had become an idol that now I was striving to please, striving to always measure up. And so when I would get a job, like from the agency, they'd say, hey, you're in the running for this job, and I'd get it. I'd feel pretty good about myself. But when they'd say, hey, you're in the running for this job, and they'd pick some other model, I would instantly question everything about how I looked. You know, I'm too tall. Maybe I should dye my hair. Maybe it's my nose. Like, I had a lot of insecurities about my nose and just random things. Like, what the heck?
And you have such a cute nose. There's nothing wrong with your nose.
It's just a basic nose. But, you know, I don't know. I was constantly just comparing my nose and like my different features. And I think that's the thing when beauty, in our book, Girl Defined, we talk about beauty becoming a beast. And it really does become a beast when we put it, rather than embracing our God-given beauty as a gift and something that we can enjoy for God's glory, like, you know, looking feminine, if that's what a girl, like, she's feminine, she wants to wear makeup, doing it not for the approval of others, not finding our identity and our outward appearance, but putting ourselves together, having fun with makeup to enjoy our God-given beauty and to ultimately glorify God, not finding our worth and identity in that. And so for me, when I finally said, wow, this has become such an idol in my heart, I am a slave to outward, like to my outward appearance, to beauty, to people's opinions. When I finally said, I'm done with that. Like, I'm just going to embrace what God has given me. And I'm actually going to cultivate a heart of gratitude. So I started thanking God for my nose and I started thanking him for things that I was wrestling with. And it transformed my heart. I went from being so inward focused and insecure to then being God focused. And I could just enjoy the way I looked. I could enjoy makeup. And there was so much freedom in that.
The most interesting part is, in a survey I took of a bunch of guys, a woman who is secure and confident was the most attractive thing. It wasn't even her body, her nose, her hips, her boobs.
How long her eyelashes were, none how big her lips were, right?
Actually, my husband, the more makeup someone's wearing, the more he's like, that is just wrong. like that just doesn't even look normal anymore, you know? Like, as a man, and I'm sure not all men are like this, but my husband in particular just feels like the more that you get further away from a realistic person, the weirder it looks to him. And a lot of men have actually said the same thing. You know, it's just like, sometimes we are just doing it because we think this is what's going to add value and this is what's going to add, but we're really, like you said, I think the key is when I think about this every day too, in the morning, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Where's my heart? What's my motivation?
What's the motivation?
Because that is so telling. And so many times Jesus needs to help us rework our heart and our motivation, align ourselves with his truth, remember our value. Like, so many times I need less mascara and more Jesus because I just need to be more aligned with where he wants my heart to be and my security to lie. Mm-hmm. Not that it's wrong to put on more mascara, but sometimes that's not the answer. You know, right. I walk away still feeling not enough because my heart needs to be aligned with who he says I am.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the key. There's no right or wrong answer. There's no formula. There's no wear this, don't wear that. But really it's like, where's my heart? And being able to check in with yourself on a regular basis is so important. You know, you can't just fly through life without thinking of that kind of stuff, without going deep, without looking in and examining your heart and what's going on. So,
I think that's so important.
Such a good conversation. Thank you so much, Kristen, for sharing your heart and just part of your story with us. I love what you're doing to encourage girls and young women across the country. And how can people connect with you guys and learn more about you?
Yeah, we would love to connect with anyone listening. And you can find us online at girldefined.com. We're also all over all the social media. So if you just search at Girl Defined, we're on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, although most of our girls aren't really on Twitter. and then if you want to check out our podcast, that's our newest launch. So the Girl Defined Show, where we talk about all things womanhood, identity, beauty, relationships, some similar stuff we talked about here, but just really digging into what does it mean to be a girl defined by God.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then you can email me at contact@girldefined.com. Also, if you want to, you know, talk about anything specific that we discussed here, I love getting emails from girls all over the world and just having those conversations.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kristen. So good to have you, and hopefully we'll have you back sometime soon.
Thank you, Deborah. It was a blast.
Take care.
Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast today. It was so fun to chat with you about love and relationships. No matter what your relationship status, if you're looking to go deeper with healthy relationships, I invite you to check out my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, or my brand new book, Love in Every Season. You can find out more information about those, as well as hundreds of articles and in-depth courses over at my blog, truelovedates.com. I love connecting with you. So please find me on Facebook or Instagram at True Love Dates and give me a shout out. If you have a love and relationship question on your mind, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships. If you're loving what you're hearing on this show, be sure to subscribe and leave us your 5-star review because it makes all the difference in getting the word out. I'm Deborah Falada, and it was so great being together again today, and I can't wait to chat with you next week. Take care.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.